Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you are watching this, you are very welcome for this, our worship on Sunday, the 21st of March 2021. It was a year ago, Sunday, the 22nd of March last year, that we had our first regular Sunday worship on video in this way. And back then, I never imagined that I would be saying that's a year of online worship videos. It has been wonderful to share with you and many others over this year, and we have learned many lessons, many new ways of being the Church of Jesus Christ in our time and in our situation. The worship videos will certainly be continuing, although there is now the hope that we may be able to return to the church buildings, perhaps as early as next Sunday. An announcement is expected from the Scottish Government on Tuesday, 23rd of March, suggesting that places of worship can reopen with social distancing and the wearing of face coverings and still no singing, but from next weekend. That's anticipated. And if that announcement comes through on Tuesday, then it is my intention that we have worship at Strontian Church on the 28th, on Palm Sunday, at 11 o'clock. And we will hopefully resume a pattern of a service once a month around each of our venues at 11 o'clock. But the following Sunday is Easter Sunday. And I hope very much that we are able to gather. And if we can, the hope is that there will be a service at Ardgour at 10 o'clock and at Keele Church in Morvern at 12 noon on Easter Sunday. Between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, there will be many things happening for Holy Week. Much has been arranged online with colleagues around the Presbytery of Lochaber. And there's information on the Presbytery website, and there'll be links from our own congregational website, aksm.org.uk, and the website for Friends in Achairachel and Ardnamurchan, aandaparishes.org.uk. So do look out for information about forthcoming worship opportunities, and hopefully we may be able to be back in the church buildings. And I fully appreciate that many of you will choose not to until you've had your second jag, until all the restrictions are lifted, until we can sing and praise our God together in church. In the meantime, we come together, although we are apart, on this fifth Sunday in Lent, we come to worship our God.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reveal God's love for humanity, to invite us into relationship with you as Father and Son and Spirit. You came to help us grow in love for our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, and to want to follow and serve you. Help us, Lord. Help us want to take time to build up our relationship with you. Help us to want to make time to play our part in that relationship, listening to the promptings that come from within. We long to draw nearer to you, to know you more deeply and more fully, to discover and understand your ways in new and different ways. Give us inquisitive minds. Give us an openness to meeting you everywhere and in all things, the unexpected places and the expected. Lord, through our worship, may we think very much on how we may be your people. What can I do for you, Lord? Make us more aware of your presence within us, so that those around us may also be aware of your presence within us too. May you be around us today and always. Forgive us when we don't do this, when we get things wrong. But we're glad that you give us chances after chances. Be close to us. Help us to worship you not only 1 hour on a Sunday, but all the hours of the rest of the week, in our attitudes, in the way we treat others, in what we say, in what comes from our hearts. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. In the Old Testament, a prophet was somebody who spoke the word of God to God's people. This prophet was called Jeremiah. So let's hear from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, although I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I shall forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Amen.
Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless an ear of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die.
I think that Jeremiah may have had the most depressing job in the whole of the Old Testament. Like many of the Old Testament prophets, he repeatedly warns the people about their failure to follow God's ways, their failure to abide by the covenant, their religious and political shortcomings. His message is directed to the southern two tribes, to the people of Judah. Jeremiah speaks out about their religious hypocrisy, their economic corruption, and their oppressive practices. Their worship of God is a perversion of what it should be. It's an empty ritual. They ignore the parts of God's laws that are inconvenient. They also worship pagan gods. They deal dishonestly and treacherously. Justice isn't served. The needy aren't protected. For decades, Jeremiah speaks out and warns that disaster will come upon the nation. But no one accepts his message, God's message. Jeremiah is derided, attacked, regarded as a traitor and a heretic. The people prefer to listen to those who also claim to be prophets, but actually just tell them what they want to hear. That everything will be all right. Carry on as you are. Everything is fine. But everything will not be all right. The people continue to ignore the warning to turn back to God, despite having seen the fate of their cousins, the northern tribes of Israel, who also ignored their prophets' warnings. These tribes were conquered by Assyria 125 years previously. But even this doesn't make the southern tribes reconsider their way of life. At no point in all the years do the people accept Jeremiah's message and turn back to God. But still, Jeremiah continues to serve God and speak the words given to him. And disaster does strike. Jerusalem and the people of Judah are conquered by Babylon, a power that's already conquered Assyria. The people of Judah are exiled to Babylon. The words of warning spoken by Jeremiah throughout those long years come true. But God also gave Jeremiah some words of hope to speak during those years. Messages that God is merciful and will restore his people, look after them, and return them to their land. Chapter 31, from which today's reading came, is such a message. And indeed, the people did return to their land after 70 years in exile. The passage we heard also says, "The days are coming when I will make a new covenant." A new covenant, a new relationship between God and people at some point in the future, a much more intimate relationship. There'd always been a distance between the people and their God. God's words and laws were conveyed through intermediaries, prophets or leaders. People relied on these prophets or leaders to teach them and guide them, to tell them how to live. There was no concept of a personal relationship with God, except for a few chosen individuals. This was going to change. What God says will happen. God's promises are always fulfilled. Sometimes there are different stages or aspects of fulfillment at different times. There was a preparation for fulfillment of this prophecy during the exile in Babylon. The people had lost their promised land, God's gift to them. They'd lost the temple, the place where God dwelt. It had been destroyed. To their minds, they'd even lost their God. But God worked through this. The people were led by prophets such as Ezekiel and priests to retell their traditions and stories in order to rediscover there a foundation for hope. They discovered a more spiritual way of living out their faith. Temples and sacrifices were no more, but it was possible to meet on the Sabbath, to worship God, and to meditate on His word. In this way, synagogue worship came into being, a way of living out the Jewish religion that would continue even after the temple had been restored. This brought the people closer to God, but still was not the fulfillment of the individual personal knowledge of God, relationship with God that had been promised. Over 500 years later, the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem would herald an age where ordinary people would come to know God. To know God in Jesus, in Emmanuel, God with us, living daily life among them. They could meet with Jesus, listen to Jesus, talk to him, touch him, not just relying on intermediaries. They came to know a loving and merciful God, a Father who forgives and cares for each one of His children. God is no longer a God who can only be approached by temple sacrifices. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are all invited into a close, intimate relationship with a God who will always dwell with us and in us. The prophecy of Jeremiah promises this close relationship only to the children of Israel and Judah. In Jesus, God's promises are extended to all. At the end of today's gospel passage, we hear Jesus' words, "I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." God's promises through Jeremiah that in the new covenant, now offered to all, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." The law of God was summarized by Jesus as, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself." God's law is not a set of rules, but a law of love. When we understand this, some of the so-called hard sayings of Jesus fall into place. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This has sometimes been interpreted as, "Life in this world isn't to be enjoyed. If you are enjoying yourself, you're not following Jesus. You're sinning." Yet there was plenty that Jesus enjoyed in his earthly life. Celebrations, friendships, nature, food, and wine. Jesus himself says that he's come that we may have life in all its fullness. And that doesn't mean being miserable. If, however, We love our lives in the sense that we are totally and utterly selfish, giving no thought to God or to our neighbour. We don't open ourselves to give or receive love. We do not live life in its fullness. We lose it. If, however, we open ourselves fully to God and neighbour, open ourselves fully giving and receiving love, unconditional love, we will find a fullness of life. This is not to say that everything will be easy, without difficulty, without pain. If we love, we will suffer pain. Pain when we lose a dear one. Pain when a child takes a road that will lead to harm. Pain when a friend betrays us. Pain when a loved one suffers in illness. Jeremiah didn't have an easy life, but he continued to serve God. And we also know that we follow Jesus along this path, and that he's always with us. So, has Jeremiah's prophecy been completely fulfilled yet? It says there will be no longer need for any teaching because everyone will know God. Are we in that situation yet? Does everyone need know God? Do we have no need for teaching, scripture, etc.? Are we self-sufficient in our knowledge of God? I hope that I do hear God speaking through prayer, but I certainly still need to be taught and hear God speaking through that teaching, through scripture and other spiritual books, through other people, through everyday life. I think that the absolute fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy is still to come in the end times when we see God face to face. When we truly know God, having God's law of love in our minds and hearts, God's law of pure, unconditional love and self-giving. The writer Donald Nichols expresses it in these words: I realize that unconditional love may not be altogether possible in this world for most of us. For me, certainly, I need to be bathed in the unconditional love of God, which is heaven, plunged into the ocean of pure love so that my whole being is cleansed of my selfishness, my ego swept entirely away. Only then will God's law be completely in my mind and in my heart. Only then will my life be totally God's. And back to my words. In the meantime, I try to follow Christ more closely. I try to love more deeply. I try to turn my back on selfishness so that I may serve, trusting in God's love and mercy to lift me up when I falter and fall. Amen.
Oh, what a friend, what a friend we have in Jesus, who knows our every weakness and the burdens that we bear. Oh, what a joy, what a privilege and mercy to carry everything to him in prayer. Jesus, we come, our defenses are undone, and we lay our fragile prayers before your throne. Jesus, we trust in your never-failing love. knowing safe within your grace we find our home. We find our home. Strength within the struggle, peace within the trouble, and hope in our despair. And when we are lost or fading in our courage, He will raise us up and hide us with Him there. So Jesus, we come. Our defenses are undone, and we lay our fragile prayers before your throne. And Jesus, we trust in your never failing love, knowing safe within your grace we find our home. We find our home.
Let us pray for ourselves and for others. Almighty and everlasting God, we don't always know what to ask for in our prayers, for there's so much we don't understand and we don't know. And yet we do know that you are active in this world, moving in our hearts and moving through the events of history. So we come to you now in quiet faith, and we place ourselves and this world into your hands, asking that your will may be done, despite everything that conspires against it. We bring ourselves, weak, faithless, hesitant, foolish, and we bring all that we are and all that we long to be, seeking your help and your touch, because all things are yours and we entrust them to your safekeeping. We bring all who are part of our lives. We bring our families, we bring our friends, our neighbours, our work colleagues, all whom we meet in the daily round of life. We bring our world. We bring the rich and the poor. We bring the happy and the sad, those who are mourning and those who are having the time of their lives. We bring the well-fed and we bring the hungry. We bring those who endure war and those who enjoy peace, those who revel in freedom, and we bring those who fight for justice, any who bring your healing touch, whether it's physically or mentally or spiritually, we bring them, Lord, and ask that you work through them, whether they know it or not, so that signs of your kingdom may be seen on earth. We thank you that you are involved in our lives, active in our world, that you are concerned about everything that you have made. And so we leave all of this and our prayers with you, asking only that you work through everything and through us, so that your will be done, so that your kingdom will be seen and will come. Because we know that all things are yours, Lord, and we entrust it all to your keeping. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And with our prayers, we bring our offerings. We bring all that we have, all that we are, all that we can use to build up God's church, God's mission, God's kingdom. We bring it with joy and with thankful hearts. And all our prayers, all our offerings, we bring together as we say together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Your eyes to the Lord your God, Father of goodness and grace, all of your burdens and gifts of praise, come lay them down in this place. For his arm is mighty and his love will endure, his plan is perfect, his victory is sure, and his anger is righteous, but his grace is free. Oh, what a Savior is he. Oh, what a Savior is he. Lift your souls to the Lord your God, Maker of heaven and earth, sun and moon bow before his throne, praise him for all he is worth. For his arm is mighty and his love will endure, his plan is perfect, his victory is sure, and his anger is righteous, but his grace is free. Oh, what a Savior is he. Oh, what a Savior is he. Fulfill all your needs, seek his wisdom, attend his words, follow wherever he leads. For his arm is mighty and his love will endure, his plan is perfect, his victory is sure, his anger is righteous, but his grace is free. Oh, what a Savior is he. Yes, his arm is mighty and his love will endure, his plan is perfect, his victory is sure, and his anger is righteous, but his grace is free. Oh, what a Savior is he. Oh, what a Savior is he.
May you know of God's peace and God's blessing. From Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with you, with all those you love, and those you should love. Today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.